Good day. This is Greg, and I'll be reading the Vermilion County News for Tuesday, July 14th, 2026. From the front page of the Commercial News Today, the first story is titled, Two Teens Arrested After Fatal Shooting. And this is a staff report. Danville. Two teenage men have been arrested by Danville police following Friday's fatal shooting. Javante Foreman, 19, of Danville, and Eric Jimenez, 19, of Danville, appeared in court Monday morning after being charged in connection with the shooting death of Christine M. Watson, 24, of Danville. Foreman is charged with three counts of murder with probable intent to kill or injure, one count of murder or other forcible felony, aggravated battery in a public place, and mob action. He has been held in custody since his arrest and was denied pretrial release, according to online court records, due to dangerous in force. Foreman entered a plea of not guilty. Jimenez also was in court Monday for his arraignment, where he was also denied release and pleaded not guilty. He is also charged with three counts of murder with probable intent to kill or injure, one count of murder or other forcible felony, aggravated battery in a public place, and mob action. He has also been held since his arrest. According to a release for Danville Police, members of the patrol division were dispatched to the 300 block of Plum Street around 8:27 p.m. on Friday for a subject who had been shot. Upon arrival, officers located a male victim suffering from a single gunshot wound. Despite life-saving efforts, Watson was pronounced deceased at the scene. Jane McFadden, the Vermilion County coroner, officially released Watson's name on Sunday following notification of his family. An investigation was immediately started by members of the Criminal Investigations Division, the Illinois State Police Forensic Services, the Vermilion County Coroner, and the Vermilion County State's Attorney, according to the Danville Police release, which also pointed out that subjects are innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. If anyone has any information, please call 217-431-2250 or Vermilion County Crime Stoppers anonymously online at vccrimestoppers.org or via the mobile app P3 Tips. You can also call 217-446-TIPS. Both Jimenez and Foreman are due back in court on August 17th. Jimenez is also facing felony charges for defacing the serial number on a firearm. Court records indicate he was charged on December 14, 2025, with weapons charges and offered pretrial release. He is due back in court for that case on July 16th. Our next front page story is titled New Tornado Alley. Illinois sets twister whack record more than 100 ahead of Texas. And this is by Christy Jankowski. Illinois officially broke its record for the number of tornadoes in a year, with the National Weather Service reporting 173 twisters. We average about 50 to 60 tornadoes a year in Illinois. In each of the last 4 years, we've gotten over 100, said Trent Ford, an Illinois state climatologist. We broke the record with 142 in 2024, and now we've just done it again this year. Illinois has now had more than 100 tornadoes 4 years in a row, Ford added in a recent report. The state had only previously surpassed 100 tornadoes four times between 1950 and 2022. And while Vermilion County has only had a handful of twisters, the area has dealt with flooding, straight line winds, and a tornado from June 11th had wind speeds as high as 110 miles per hour. According to the NWS preliminary damage reports in Fithian, the same storm system produced an EF1 twister in the Kickapoo State Recreation Area, snapping around 250 trees, and the tornado lifted, according to the NWS, along Hungry Hollow Road before moving into Danville. The damage estimates in the city were determined to be from 80 to 100 mile per hour straight line winds. Is climate change responsible? Ford says partially. He says that while there is a distinct weather pattern showing more outbreaks in the past 4 years, it does not match perfectly with what models would predict from climate change alone. A logical person would put those together and say, oh, this is climate change. But it's really not that simple, because this isn't the pattern that we would expect from a changing climate, Ford said. We've seen this kind of frequent weather pattern more persistent on top of a changing climate, so kind of a combination of both of them. Ford says it is very possible Illinois will go back to having 50 to 60 tornadoes per year versus the triple-digit numbers the state has seen in the last 4 years, especially if it's the weather variability that's playing a larger role here. Ed Kieser, a local meteorologist with Illinois Public Media with over 40 years of experience, agrees with Ford, but says the data is showing a shift in the area referred to as Tornado Alley. I can say that it does appear that Tornado Alley has been shifting eastward over the last couple of decades, Kieser said. The beginning of 2023 through June 30th of this year, it appears that Illinois has had 586 tornadoes, which leads the nation, Kieser said. Texas is second with 444. So Illinois leads by a substantial margin, which is unusual. Texas, on average, has always been the leader, in part because of its location and also the fact that Texas is so big in size. Kieser, who notes that Texas has had only 24 tornadoes this season, says there are more being noticed due to technological advances, but there is a distinct change. People can now snap images with cell phone cameras, and those get counted, where maybe some tornadoes in the past were missed. But the numbers that we've seen in recent years are so much larger that there is a real increase in the number of tornadoes, Kieser said. Kieser says even with the shift eastward of Tornado Alley, it could be attributable to climate change. However, he says he does not attribute one event to climate change. And while the flash flooding that happened in Vermilion County recently is not necessarily a sign of climate change, the impacts of climate change will bring torrential downpours. The climate in Danville has gotten wetter, but the bigger impact has been an increase in the intensity of rainfall, he said. And in June, Ford says in a report that frequent, often heavy rain blessed or plagued central and northern Illinois. He reports rainfall was as high as 12 inches in places in central Illinois during June. The heavy rainfall caused widespread flooding on the Illinois, Mackinac, and Vermilion rivers, among others in central Illinois, Ford says. The Illinois River at Havana reached its highest stage, 19.82 feet, since 2020. Ford says we are not seeing any changes from an El Nino pattern. Although we are now officially in an El Nino pattern, It usually takes a while for the pattern to noticeably impact our weather here in the Midwest, Ford said. Additionally, even a full-strength El Niño, La Niña tends to have minimal impacts on our summer weather, with more of an influence on fall and winter. Kieser agrees, saying this winter will likely be mild, but predicting long-term forecasts is nearly impossible. The easiest thing for me to take to the bank is when we have a strong El Niño, winter is going to be very likely be milder than average, warmer than average, Kieser said. There's a strong signal between a strong El Niño and milder than typical weather in our part of the world. Both Kieser and Ford say there are things you can do to protect yourself during tornado season. We can do a lot to protect ourselves and our loved ones from severe weather, Ford said. The vast majority of fatalities related to tornadoes are not from people being sucked out of their homes, Twister style, but from people just being hit in the head with flying debris. Practical steps include making a plan of where to go during a warning, and while taking a video may be interesting, the flying debris can be deadly. I've actually seen videos of people that have been knocked out. You know, this video ends when they've been hit by something, Kieser said. It's just like you don't want to go into a lion's den at the zoo and take a close-up picture, because the lion will probably eat you. Even if the coming El Niño brings a quieter winter season, the experts say the long-term trend is clear. Warmer, wetter conditions are stacking the odds toward more tornado-friendly setups and heavier rain. Our last story from the front page of the commercial news today is titled, Oil Prices Jump After Iran War Resumes. And this is from the Associated Press. New York. Oil prices jumped Monday following a weekend of attacks in the Middle East, while more losses for computer chip companies and other winners of the artificial intelligence boom dragged stock markets lower. The price for a barrel of Brent crude oil, the international standard, climbed 9.6% to $83.30 after the United States and Iran each said the Strait of Hormuz is under its control. Fighting in the region has kept oil tankers from using the strait to deliver crude to customers from the Persian Gulf, which drives up fuel prices worldwide. The gains for oil prices accelerated immediately after President Donald Trump said he's reinstating a blockade to prevent tankers carrying Iranian oil from using the strait. He also called for 20% payments on all cargo shipped through it to reimburse the United States for providing protection in the area. Brent's price, though, remains well below its wartime peak of nearly $120 per barrel for its most actively traded contract. On Wall Street, the S&P 500 fell 0.8%, coming off its fourth winning week in the last five. The Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped 138 points, or 0.3%, and the NASDAQ Composite sank 1.6%. Chip stocks like Micron Technology helped lead the way lower. Micron fell 4.4%, eating into what had been a stellar rise of 243.1% for the year so far. Real profits are behind the rise because the AI rush has created surging demand for computer memory and other computing building blocks. But worries are rising that stock prices have shot too high and that the demand may not be sustainable if AI doesn't deliver as much profit and productivity as expected. Nvidia fell 3.5% because it's the largest stock on Wall Street by value, thanks to the euphoria around AI. It was the single heaviest weight on the S&P 500. Much of Wall Street's attention this week will be on profit reports from companies saying how much they earned during the spring. On Tuesday alone, Bank of America, Citigroup, JP Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs, and Wells Fargo are all releasing their latest quarterly results. Analysts are forecasting that companies in the S&P 500 index will deliver overall growth of 23.6% from a year earlier, according to FactSet. If they're right, it would be the second straight quarter of growth better than 20%. Companies across industries will need to deliver strong growth to justify the big moves their stock prices have made. Indexes are near records despite their sharp recent swings due to worries around AI stocks. Companies usually turn in results that top analysts' expectations, including in 37 of the past 40 quarters, according to FactSet. If they do so again by the usual margin, earnings growth for S&P 500 companies in the latest quarter could end up being the best since 2021. That's the end of the front page stories today from the commercial news. We're going to turn now to the obituaries, and it appears that we have one. And it is for Pamela Richards Clark Cleverly. Pamela Richards Clark Cleverly, 83, of Noblesville, Indiana, passed away July 10th, 2026. Visitation will be Thursday, July 16th, from 10 a.m. until the time of service at 11 a.m. at Shirley Brothers Fisher's Castleton Chapel at 9900 Allisonville Road in Fishers, Indiana. For a full obituary, please visit their website at www.shirleybrothers.com. And that's all the obituaries we have today. We're going to read a story from the News Gazette now by Rob Lacates, titled, Fourth Time's the Charm. Georgetown Ridge Farms Haley Carlton takes home Vermilion County Crown. Georgetown. The newest Vermilion County Fair Queen is persistent, winning the prestigious crown in her fourth shot. The Little Miss in 2014, Haley Carlton's success varied each year, from not placing to first runner-up. Starting the Miss Vermilion County Fair Queen pageant at 16 years old, the now 20-year-old knew each category like the back of her hand. It has many different categories, like public speaking and interviewing and all of those things. And this year, I just truly felt myself, she said. It was my time, and it was on my birthday, so it was the best. The competition included a four-minute interview, swimsuit modeling, evening gown modeling, and a one-minute speech. Judges picked the top five from the 13 other competitors, and then came the three random on-stage questions. Besides experience, Carlton had a leg up in the pageant, having been a Georgetown Ridge Farm FFA student and a current junior in the Agribusiness Economics program at Southern Illinois University at Carbondale. I'm big into agriculture. That's what I study in school. So knowing that I have a chance to get a platform to talk about agriculture and be more involved with the community, that honestly seemed like something that I really wanted to be a part of, she said. The 4-H member said experience came in clutch for her on-stage questions. During high school, She was the school chapter's president and Section 18's vice president. FFA was one of my biggest extracurriculars in high school, and I even had the honor of talking about it for one of my onstage questions in the pageant, she said. Really, we had to talk about organizations that we would like to support throughout our reign, and I got to just talk about FFA, and it was great. Besides dairy products and livestock judging, to name a few, a large part of FFA for her was public speaking, so being able to use those skills felt fulfilling. Agriculture taught me about one of my passions and gave me a piece of who I am, she said. Although she aged out of FFA, she is taking an approach similar to Ag in the classroom, a program designed to bring agriculture to students who may not have those kinds of classes in their schools. Her initiative still hinges on what FFA strives for, agriculture education. I've always thought that every school needs an agriculture class because you need to know where your food comes from, where your clothes come from, and that's just so important, she said. Back home for the summer, Carlton works at Nutrien Ag Solutions, who just so happened to be her supporter this year. When I let my managers and my superiors know about me winning, they were so excited for me, she said. They were so happy for me, and it's so sweet because I enjoy what I do, and it's such a cool opportunity to also have them back me. Although the state competition is less than 5 months away, preparation has already started for Carlton. I'm excited to be asked questions about agriculture. I'm excited to be asked questions about myself and Vermilion County, she said. Looking back on her prior 3 years of competition experience, she said the younger version of herself would be stoked to know they got the crown. When I was younger, competing for the first time, I wanted it so bad. And obviously, looking back, I was just a 16-year-old, she said. I was trying my best, but I had a lot of growing up to do. And within these last 4 years, I think that obviously 16-year-old Haley would be extremely proud and probably in shock, like, oh my gosh, we finally did it. And returning to some other local stories from the commercial news, we have Catlin plans celebration for Vermilion County Bicentennial. And this is a staff report. Catlin. The village of Catlin is ready to welcome residents and visitors to its bicentennial celebration for Vermilion County. According to a release from the village, there will be a full day of activities on Saturday, August 1st, honoring the 200th anniversary for Vermilion County. The celebration of the Vermilion County Bicentennial will begin with a 10 o'clock a.m. parade and continue throughout the day with live music, a community vintage baseball game, a cruise in and car show, museum programs, historic reenactments, cemetery walks, children's activities, food trucks, vendors, and more. From longtime residents to first-time visitors, the celebration is designed to showcase the people, places, and traditions that have shaped Catlin and Vermilion County over the past two centuries. This celebration is about bringing people together, said Wanda Schmidt, Commissioner of Public Health and Safety for the Village of Catlin. Whether you're here for the parade, the music, the vintage baseball game, or simply to spend time with family and friends, we hope people leave with an even greater appreciation for our village and Vermilion County. One of the day's featured historical presentations will be offered by the Vermilion County Museum in partnership with the Catlin Heritage Museum, highlighting Catlin's unique place in Vermilion County's history. The program, we'll explore why Catlin was once considered as a potential county seat and how those early decisions helped shape the county we know today. Additional museum activities throughout the afternoon will include tours, historic demonstrations, children's activities, and cemetery walks. Catlin holds a unique place in Vermilion County's story, said Sarah Cast, director of the Catlin Heritage Museum. Many people don't realize that Catlin was once considered for the county seat. The bicentennial gives us the opportunity to share those stories, celebrate our local history, and help people better understand how our community helped shape Vermilion County over the last 200 years. Organizers are also inviting community members to become part of the celebration by participating in several featured events. Registration is currently open for the Bicentennial Parade, the Community Talent Show, the Cruise Inn and Car Show, a cornhole tournament, and a community vintage baseball game against the Vermilion Vols, ages 16 and up. In addition to these featured events, visitors can enjoy live performances throughout the day, including a barbershop performance, In Bloom, Bob Schiffo, and an evening performance by 90's Daughter, along with local food vendors, family activities, shopping, and entertainment throughout Catlin. The celebration of the Vermilion County Bicentennial is free to attend. For the full schedule, registration information, and event updates, visit the official Catlin Celebration of the Vermilion County Bicentennial Facebook page at www.facebook.com/share/1LMEOIAMAB. And in sports, from the local roundup by Marvin Holman, we have three former Dans picked in MLB draft. Danville. Three former Danville Dans were picked up in the Major League Baseball draft over the weekend. Alabama's Tyler Fay, who played for the Dans in the 2023 season, was selected in the sixth round by the Pittsburgh Pirates. In the 10th round, Mississippi State's Bryce Chance, who played in the 2022 season, was picked by the Toronto Blue Jays. And in the 16th round, Louisiana Tech's Colton Coates, who played for Danville in the 2024 season, was picked by the Boston Red Sox. With the three picked, the total of former Dans picked in the MLB draft has gone up to 36. And from the local briefs column, the Danville Art League is reflecting on the people, places, and moments that have defined Vermilion County, celebrating its 200th anniversary, and the United States, celebrating its 250th anniversary. A walk through the history of the Art League is an exhibit currently on display at the Danville Art League at 320 North Franklin Street in Danville. This exhibit will be open during our regular business hours of 9 a.m. until noon on Saturdays and Wednesdays. For other times, please call 217-442-9264 to make an appointment. Additionally, Gary Resch, owner of Resch Frame Shop and a former Art League president, will speak at a reception on Saturday, September 12th from 1 to 3 p.m. Refreshments will be served. It's free and open to the public. And the Vermilion Regional Airport Authority will hold its July board meeting at 4 p.m. on Thursday, July 16th. For information, contact Tracy Van Dunn at 217-442-4624. And that takes us to the end of our time for this Tuesday, July 14th, 2026. Again, my name is Greg, and as always, it's been a pleasure to read for you, and I hope that you have a splendid day. Take care.